RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at cabelas.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader. Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are bringing you inside the largest RV industry event of the year and talking all about the RVIA trade show in Louisville, Kentucky, that took place from November 28th through December 1st.
Stephanie attended the event and toured countless RV models, interviewed manufacturers, and poured through the endless vendor displays. She walked away with lots of news to report and plenty of great RV content for future podcast episodes.
You might think that the second verse is the same as the first when it comes to 2017 RV models, but we know that there is plenty of splashy new things on the industry horizon. You are listening to episode number 118, Greetings from the RVIA Show in Louisville, Kentucky.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, greetings from the RVIA show in Louisville, Kentucky, we have our news roundup, which is sponsored by our good friends at Progressive Insurance.
When you are out on the road traveling and your RV breaks down, Progressive's roadside assistance will help you get your RV started or provide towing to the nearest qualified repair facility. Learn more by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV today.
It's all about finding that qualified repair facility.
And that is super duper important.
You just walk up to somebody's door and say, fix my RV or my car.
Girl Camper, aka Janine Pettit, she did have the, you know, roadside assistance through Progressive, and she had a fantastic experience with using that. So we can say, luckily we've never
as fantastic as a breakdown can be.
Yeah. So, but that's the whole point of having insurance, right? Is that when something bad happens, it makes it a more pleasant experience.
That should be Progressive's new motto. As fantastic as a breakdown can be.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw that at him. I'm going to see if it sticks.
Because, yeah, you know, Progressive needs your marketing help.
They don't. They got Flo. They don't need anybody's help.
Yeah, Flo needs some of your tips.
All right, listen. It's time for news roundup. While at the RVIA show, Stephanie did an awesome Facebook Live with Go RVing. It was about half an hour, and it was all on toy haulers. So she toured three different Jayco toy haulers, and she kind of talked about I don't know if I want to say the history of toy haulers, but how toy haulers
no.
about how toy
I would
haulers,
say the evolution.
Thank you so much.
You're
good
welcome.
Diction, honey. Okay, the evolution of toy haulers. So just tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that we have gotten a little bit of a response from our audience, like, toy hauler? Oh, like, why did you make that choice? And we made that choice for the same reason I truly believe a lot of families are going to be making that choice in the near future. I think toy haulers are trending as the new family travel trailer and fifth wheel. I really do believe that. And
once we have one, they will.
Now, and listen. I talked about that in the Facebook Live. Like, you know, why is it that you should be looking at toy haulers, whether or not you have a motorized toy to haul around, right?
You wouldn't buy a house without a garage.
Right. That's our
now, you're going to put the link to that in the show notes for this episode. So as a little bonus, if you missed that, you want to go over to the show notes and watch that. She did a great job. It was really fun. I've watched it a few times. The boys watched it too. We all approved. All right. Now, last week's episode was responses, I'm sorry, it was dispatches from an RV newbie, got a really, really huge response because we always say it. We have a lot of new RV owners and RV newbies and future RV owners listening. So the episode resonated last week. Why do you think that is?
Well, we just got, I think it's exactly what you said. I mean, we just got so much mail and social media, you know, response. Because first of all, I think people love hearing someone else's experience that is similar to their own, right? Like they loved, for our RV newbies who just had one season under their belt, a lot of our listeners were like, oh my gosh, that's like what we went through. And it feels good, right?
That first trip can go badly, right? I mean, we don't always say that. We don't always talk about that. We're pretty far removed from that first trip.
But our first trip went badly. Kind of, but
we fell in love with it. And that's what happens with a lot of people. Like, it went badly, something broke, or this, I couldn't back it in right, or whatever.
But we thought we were going to run the whole thing off a battery the whole time. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, went dead overnight.
We didn't get it.
Yeah. We didn't get it at all.
That's not the way that works.
And then we always chose full hookups after that. Yeah. So anyway, it was a great episode. Check it out. You have a letter from a new listener.
So I just want, we got a lot of notes and emails and everything, and we really appreciated them. They were great to read, but I love this one, and you're going to see why at the end. This was one of the best because I happened to see something at the end of the episode that referenced the fact that we really do get new listeners on every episode. And we know that, but sometimes it feels like we're just talking to people that we've been talking to for 2 years.
Yeah, but then we say that the numbers every week increase.
So anyway, so we got this email and I have to read it, okay? So, dear Jeremy and Stephanie, I have been getting off the well-traveled path ever since I got my driver's license, looking for adventure and hidden jewels in the country. When I reached 60 years of age, I began to think about what I was going to do when I retired. And the first thing that came to mind was getting off the well-traveled path full-time. I've joined several groups on Facebook and have listened to several different podcasts, and until today, none of them felt like they were right for me, and many felt like they were just trying to sell me something. Until today. When I listened to your RVFTA podcast for the first time, your information was great, and it was serendipitous that your guest talk was about the RV newbie traveler. I knew it then, my search was over. What really cinched the deal was that your suggestions about other podcasts you recommended at the end. I searched for those podcasts while I listened to the rest.
She's referring to Camp Like a Toddler, the cranky RVer, and Men and Their Rigs. Yeah.
Should I search for those podcasts while I listened to the rest of yours to no avail? It wasn't until you said at the end about them not being real that I realized my leg had been pulled. Kudos to you. I look forward to hearing about other adventures through your podcast as I plan to begin mine in the near future. Cheers, Judy.
Cheers. Thank you.
Judy. Thank you so much for writing. And I love that we got her for a second.
It's
about
like market research. Maybe other people are out there searching for Camp Like a Toddler. Maybe we actually need to make it happen.
But the funny thing was, I remember saying that we should probably mention for people that are just listening, these are not real podcasts. And
she's
Judy
like
was
cranky
out there.
RVer? That sounds really interesting.
It sounds funny, at least, right? But anyway, it just hats off to all of the people out there. You know, Judy is over, she's at that retirement age. She's thinking about what she wants to do with her life. She's got, wanderlust, and she has a lot of adventure, that she sees in front of her. And just congratulations, Judy. Like, go for it, right? Like,
you go, girl.
Shoot for the stars. Yeah, have fun. Love it.
Absolutely. So, other listener feedback, I think, from that last episode, I asked if other men are obsessed with flashlights, and we got quite a few notes saying, yes,
yes.
I'm obsessed with flashlights. And I knew that. It wasn't like I was waiting with bated breath to find out. Stephanie needed a little more evidence. And then also, somebody wrote in and said they think that I should wear gloves.
Not someone. That was
people.
Not someone.
I should wear
that
those.
Was more than one.
What do you call those
one?
Gloves? Safety
the
gloves?
Latex, latex gloves. Yeah. We got more than one. I didn't count them, but there were quite a few people. And I think obviously it's the people that wear the gloves that speak up
I'm
about that.
A little
that.
Bit more like Randy Quaid from that European Vacation movie.
Yeah, that was funny though. I couldn't believe the amount of comments that were like, put on gloves, Jeremy. Wear gloves. My husband wears gloves,
We have never camped with somebody who whipped out latex gloves and put them on.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going through our list
not
of people
that I
we
follow
camp
people
with.
Back to their
yeah,
black
Yeah, you don't stare. Maybe some of them do. Maybe we need to do a poll at our next,
maybe
you know,
a lot of the men we camp
camping.
With, they sneak out at night.
Yeah.
They put on their dainty little latex gloves.
They do it in the dark. They don't want anybody to know.
Now, listen, the Florida RV Super Show is fast approaching, believe it or not. It's like a little bit over a month away.
I know. It feels like we were kept saying, way in the future, save the date. And now it's like it's next
approaching.
Month.
So it's January 17th to 22nd, 2017. It's a Wednesday through a Sunday. It's at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa. It's celebrating its 32nd year. It's the largest RV show in the country. It's the most rockin' fun festival. Like RV show in the country as well, is it not?
Yeah, it's a very good time. And you can also camp on site now. I do want to say we warned you about this early on. The rally, the super show rally is sold out. Okay, so you can't get those hookup sites anymore. However, you can still dry camp. If you just show up, you don't reserve those spots, you just show up, but that's dry camping. So, you know, we told you this back in August that those campsites were going to sell out.
So don't come knocking on my door asking for sewage hookup.
Yeah, we're going to be full up in our RV there.
Can I just borrow your...
So you can camp on site, but it's going to be dry camping. There's going to be daily seminars, 26 acres of RVs. There's over 450 vendor booths, and there's great entertainment.
But now, what do you mean by great entertainment? I mean, I, for one, am hoping to see the Teddy Roosevelt impersonator.
I talked TR
with him for like 45 minutes. I mean, he was up on his bully pulpit.
Yeah, I don't even want to like try to describe the entertainment to people because I
live
feel like
music.
Well, yeah, but I just feel like it really is delightfully surprising when you show up and you see these acts that
quirky.
Are just yeah,
it's quirky.
Yeah, and they sometimes all these quirky acts are sort of like dispersed and all over the place, and then they come together for these little parades and like, you know, random times. It's obviously not random; it's planned. But they come together, and all of a sudden there'll be this little parade of like 20 of these entertainers that go down the road.
Marketing people. For this Florida RV Super Show, they're a little bit eccentric. Mm-hmm. And I think they want it to be fun for even people that aren't into RVing to just maybe like come pay that ticket price and just spend the day at the fairgrounds having fun.
Well, I think people
do show up just to walk around
and the best RV shows understand that oftentimes people attend many of these as dreamers before they become RV owners. And they know that. They know that this has to be something that is an experience to draw people also who aren't just serious buyers that day.
You may say you're a dreamer.
I walked right into that one.
I'm not a fan of that song, actually.
Okay.
I'm a Beatles fan. I'm not a fan
but
of that song.
But not that song. Okay. Yeah. So tickets are $10, and they're good for second day return, okay? And then you also have kids 16 under are free. So.
Good. Now, you also want to save the date for the Atlantic City RV Show. It's an indoor RV show, obviously, in February. It's February 17th to 19th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's at the Atlantic City Convention Center. Now, there will be RVs there, but that's not the important part. What is the important part, dear?
I guess you're referencing the fact that we're going to be there.
We're going to be there giving seminars. So we'll be giving, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 seminars a day on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they're going to be good.
The schedule isn't up yet. It'll be up online. We'll share it out when it is. But we just want to give that little initial save the date. We don't have a lot of information about which seminars of ours are actually going to be on the schedule. So put it on the calendar if you want to join us in Atlantic City, February 17th through 19th. It's cold out at that point. There's nothing else to do. So it's just a nice little getaway.
It's a fun getaway. We have some of our podcast listeners who come and hang out, and maybe we can go out and, you know, grab a drink and talk.
Yeah,
RVs
I'm thinking of a happy
like
hour,
that.
But we'll do more
details.
So
if you are going to come, shoot us a message so that we know in advance and we'll try and say hello. But please come to our seminars as well. I'm excited to get back up there and do some seminars again.
Yeah, and that's the best way to say hello, obviously. But okay.
Well, not during the middle of the seminar.
You can say hello then, too. We're flexible.
You could. That's true.
Hey! Give us a shout.
That's the news roundup.
That's the news roundup.
So we're going to come back in a second, and we're going to break this down into really three segments to some degree. So in the first segment, Stephanie's going to talk about industry trends that she kind of picked up on during her time reporting there. And then in the second segment, we're going to come back, and she's going to talk about exhibitors and suppliers, because that's actually a huge part of the RVIA show. And then we're going to have an interview with Andy from Thetford, and Thetford is coming on board as a brand new sponsor for RVFTA. So we wanted to introduce all of you to Thetford and get you a little bit familiar with their company and their products. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment one of our episode, Greetings from the RVIA Show in Louisville, Kentucky. And in this segment, Stephanie's going to walk us through some very current industry trends. And if you want to talk industry trends, you got to go to Louisville. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's is passionate about supporting families in the outdoors, and they have all the gear you need to make camping fun and comfortable. Some of the best moments of our lives are spent around a crackling campfire, sitting beside family and friends. Visit Cabela's.com and start making memories that will be treasured for generations. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
And we are going to Cabela's this weekend, finally. Yeah. I've been begging for weeks. It's happening. We are going to Cabela's.
It's on the calendar.
It's literally on our calendar. Going to do a little bit of Christmas shopping, and I want some hats and gloves and warm stuff from Cabela's, definitely. All right, let's start out this segment on industry trends. And, you know, you did a great job reporting from the RVIA show. So, but first, just for our listeners who maybe aren't so aware, what is the RVIA?
Yeah, so the RVIA is the Recreation Vehicle Industry Association. Okay, that's what it stands for. And basically, this is an industry, you know, association that is unbiased towards any one manufacturer, right? Its purpose is to support and grow the RV industry. So whenever you think of like the RVIA, I want you to think of like Got Milk, right? Like the Got Milk campaign, or like, you know, pork, the other white meat. There's these industries that come together and pool their money just to advertise the industry in general, right? To get people to drink more milk.
And it is somewhat unusual for an industry to do this. But if you think about it for the RV industry, it makes all the sense in the world. Because in a sense, they're not so much competing with each other as they are competing with other types of vacations. So the way they look at it is, okay, we don't want you to go on a cruise. We don't want you to rent a house. We don't want you to stay in a hotel room. We want you in an RV. So we want to promote the whole RVing lifestyle. And then which RV you end up in, well, the manufacturers can compete amongst themselves, or dealers can compete amongst themselves. But generally speaking, they pool their resources and they market the entire industry together.
Yeah, and they're really proud of that. And one of the things that they always point out in the Outlook Breakfast, okay, so the major kickoff of the Louisville show is this Outlook Breakfast that happens on Tuesday morning. And one of the things that they really always point out is that this is, you know, this collaboration does stand out among other industries. And this year they were saying that, you know, the Go RVing campaign is celebrating 20 years. And, you know, they said that that is to the envy of many other industries that wish that they could, you know, work together for two decades in order just to bring more people into that sort of lifestyle instead of just, you know, competing against each other, like you said, for that money.
And of course, the Go RVing campaign is the media and marketing campaign, and that's an arm of the RVIA. It's part of what the RVIA does. The RVIA does other things as well.
Yeah. So what they do is basically they try to place the RV lifestyle in other traditional forms of media, right? Like, so, you know, they try to get segments on maybe morning news shows to just show people who aren't RVers that the RV lifestyle exists and may be accessible to them.
They try and get people who write books about RVing on television, on morning talk shows, people like us.
Yeah, don't be coy. That's our satellite media tour last summer. That was the point of that, right? Like, you know, for the RVIA, they say, hey, you wrote a book about RVing. Well, if we put you on morning talk shows all over the country, more people think, oh, that sounds like a fun thing to do, right? So they do all of that behind the scenes in the non-RV world, and then Go RVing is sort of that online, you know, they have the blog, they have all the social media outlets,
Major League Baseball,
right? Yeah, they go to, you know, you heard on our messages for them, they do the tailgating and the concerts and things like that, and they bring an RV there to show people.
That's a huge part of what they do now, experiential stuff, where they bring an RV to places where people may not be so familiar with RVs but might be into it. Okay, so like outside of a football game, or like at a big bluegrass festival or something like that, and they have the RV there, and people can walk in and go, whoa, this is pretty amazing. Like, well, I could spend a vacation in
the
this.
The funny thing is that actually happens, right? So if you've ever been, and I've been to events like the Country Living Fair, where Go RVing has these RVs just open for people to walk through. And it's amazing the number of people that say, I have never been in one of these before. And so it really is the first time. And I think for a lot of people, the first time they walk into a travel trailer, they're kind of like, whoa, I didn't know it was like this in here.
Anyone that we have ever brought into our RV, which is a relatively entry-level RV for all intents and purposes, anyone who comes over our house and says, hey, can we go look in there? They're always shocked at how nice it is inside. Yeah. Like, I don't know what they think it's going to be inside.
I know. I kind of wonder that.
I think it's just going to be like a closet.
I don't know.
Like it's just a space carved out with a pillow on the floor.
I don't know.
But everyone always has that reaction. Like, oh, this is really homey and comfortable.
Yeah.
So they want people that have never been into an RV to get into an RV. So what is the RVIA show in Louisville all about? What is this trade show
okay,
about?
So we always get, even though we say that it's a trade show and everything, on our social media, we'll always get people saying like, oh, when is this? Where is this? Can I, you know, I would like to come to this. And we have to say, no. This is a trade show. It's for the industry only. So what it is it is really set up for manufacturers, okay, the companies that make RVs, manufacturers and suppliers to basically show all of the rigs and supplies and items they have for the 2017 year. And what they are doing is they are selling to each other.
So it's a major sales event.
It is a major sales event.
It's just not a major sales event to the public. It's the dealers coming together and placing their big orders, sometimes even for the whole year. So there's lots of money at stake.
Yeah, and even some of the dealers. I talked to some dealers who said, you know, I don't do so much of my ordering here anymore. I do that more spaced out. But they said that what I do is I see things that I can't see otherwise. So a lot of them are going because these dealers know the people that show up on their lots. The good dealers are like, I know my customers. I know who's going to come this year. And I want to go around and I want to see if there's anything I should be stocking on my lot that I don't have already. And I feel like they kind of look at it the same way that customers look at it. It's hard to see what you want to see out there. So they like the fact that they can come here and it's all there. Now, it's not just manufacturers selling to dealers. It's suppliers trying to sell to manufacturers. So these suppliers, you know, the people that make all the components that go into an RV, they're trying to show their stuff off to the manufacturers and to say, use
huge contracts.
Oh, yeah. Right. Like, use all of my air conditioning units in your RVs. That's a huge sell to make.
So it's fascinating because there is a lot of buying and selling going on. But the way you've described it to me, and you've been there 2 years now, is that there's not a lot of people there. It's nothing like an RV show like Hershey that we would go to. So industry people do get to meet and interact quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of very personalized interaction, right? So I'll take everybody behind the scenes, right? So, you know, all these manufacturers, this is huge. Let me say it's 780,000 square feet of show space. When I tell you that this place is big, I can't even describe. I think, it's a mile from one end. Like if you park all the way at one end and you walk to the other end. So the one end was where I had to pick up my badge on the first day. The other end is where the Go RVing had a lot of their experiential display set up. That's 1 mile. And that's just in a straight line. Okay, now think about how much more space is in these huge halls where all of these RVs are set up. When I tell you it is difficult to even see everything here, I'm not exaggerating. It is so much walking. So I'm exhausted at the end of every day at this event. So what happens is these, you know, manufacturers all have their separate space set up, just like at a, you know, a regular RV show. But, you know, these dealers come and the manufacturers know their dealers. These are really personal relationships.
They know each other well.
These are their
sure.
clients, you know? So when these dealers show up, they'll be there with their contingent, you know, a lot of the time. It'll be like maybe five people. It's sometimes a family.
The owner, his kids.
Yes, right, or something, the marketing manager, whatever. It depends on the size of the dealer. When they show up, I'm going to say, like the manufacturers are like, hup too. Like that's their client.
That is their client.
So you watch this interaction happen. You watch a manufacturer.
A to us is that for the manufacturers, they don't perceive us as their clients nearly as
That's
much as
changing,
they perceive.
And we'll talk about that later.
Okay, but nearly as much as they perceive the dealers as their clients. Those are the ones writing the checks that go to the manufacturers. Our checks go to the dealers.
Right, exactly. So that is really this dynamic that's happening there. And the same thing is happening with the suppliers when those, you know, representatives from manufacturers are shopping and everything. When they're going around, I mean, these suppliers are like, it's serious, right? This is your chance to pick. So, you know, I mean, press, this is what I want to say. We're there as a sideshow. this is not a press event. This is not a media event.
Well, they certainly
event.
Want media covering the yes. event, but it's yes. secondary to mm-hmm. the business at hand.
Yeah, and you have to be respectful of that as media. Like for me, when I walk into a situation, even if I have an appointment to talk to somebody.
Oh, somebody's doing a deal.
They're doing a deal. It's like, this is people's bread and butter, you know, going down here. And I'll just be like, oh, I'll come back in a little while. Or I'll just sit quietly, you know.
But
say,
that
oh,
being said, you're really able to get a lot of great interviews.
Oh, yeah, because at this point, the manufacturers, they know, like, you know, they know who we are. A lot of them have been on the show. You know, we've met them. They're happy. This is, you know, the next point that I wanted to get to is, you know, they're happy to be introducing their brand personality and product to our listener. That's been a shift in the industry.
Sure, absolutely. So let's talk about that Outlook breakfast, because that breakfast on the first, it's not the first day anymore, actually, but it's sort of it's the kickoff day.
It is, yeah.
The RVIA gives a big presentation on industry trends and all kinds of research and trying to get everybody pumped up for the year ahead. So let's dive into some of those trends that they talked about during the Outlook breakfast, at least the ones that really stood out to you.
Okay, so I think that one thing our listeners need to understand is that when you're around industry insiders, everything revolves around the year 2009. Okay, so 2009, right? We all know that the market crashed. A lot of time in our mind, we think of housing, right? A lot of us think of when we bought our houses and whether we wanted the high of the market or the low. If you're in the RV industry, 2009 was the bottom of basically the RV buying market. So if you sit around and you chat with people that have been in the industry for a long time, they're constantly referencing growth from 2009. And how I think that a lot of them were like, it was like, wow, we're at rock bottom here. And then they've seen amazing growth since then. So in fact, they've had over 16% growth since 2009. All right. In the last year, 366,000 towables and 53,000 motorized units were sold in this past year alone, okay? And month over month, they kept going through all the months, like June, July, right? And they were showing numbers, month-to-month growth compared to 39, 40 years ago, highest ever.
So what do they attribute this growth to, Stephanie? I mean, what is driving this growth?
So at the Outlook breakfast, they spent a long time talking about who their customer is and who their potential customer is, right? Because that's what the RVIA is all about. It's we're going to help you sell more RVs to people who don't already have RVs. So they really said that when American consumers are questioned about what their values are as regards to travel, people say they want comfort, they want convenience, and they want to value experiences over things, okay? Which is basically the RV, you know, experience in a nutshell. So that's why, you know, the RVIA is saying you have such a strong position right now in American culture. Because this is what Americans say they want. They want comfort. Well, boom.
Yeah. And when people walk into our RV that have never been in an RV before, they're like, this is really comfortable. They all get a sense that we're having great experiences and great adventures, but they're not getting that sense of how comfortable and convenient it is.
Yeah. And you know, they really emphasize that there's just a rise in the desire for adventure travel.
As in national park travel, yeah. As in kayaking, getting out into nature, that type of thing.
Yeah. So they said there's three, I'm looking through my notes to find out where this was because here it is. Okay. They said there's three top market segments that they feel move into RV ownership. And it was active families, nature lovers, and kid-free families. So right there, it's outside, outside, outside. It's people that want to have flexible travel to be able to have these outdoor experiences.
And we want to maybe even do a whole episode talking about those three categories. Mm-hmm. But active families, I think, was the one they even pushed the most or said was the largest.
That's the largest of the three segments. So I actually said it in the order that they feel like they can get market share.
And we're riding that wave here, yeah, at this podcast network. Absolutely, we're part of this.
And it was funny because as they were saying a lot of this, it was sort of like, well, yeah, that explains basically our listening audience. You know, that's who it is. It's people that are active families, nature lovers, and we have a lot of kid-free family. Look, we just read a letter, you know, from a listener who wrote to us about going full-time after she retires. We have those listeners too. So that basically summarized, I think, the people that that listen to the RVFTA podcast network right
now,
there.
Now, there were these experience zones set up. So Go RVing had set up these multiple experience zones that you dipped into and you had some fun with. What was the point? What were they? And what was the point of them?
So Go RVing invited active outdoorsy people like David Walker, who is a bass pro from Cabela. He's on the Cabela's pro staff.
So are we. Yeah, but he's, I just like to say that.
He like taught me how to cast. You can see a video on Instagram. He was like, sure. So they had a rock climber and a golfer. So, you know, they had, and they were actually doing these things, right? They were like showing these little.
And was an RV positioned at each of these stations?
Not at everyone. Like there was a Class B over by the adventurous rock climber, right? Because that's exactly the kind of RV that adventurous rock climber would want, right? But the golfer, you had a fun little one of those golfing sections. You know how you can hit into like the computerized.
The green
screen kind of, yeah. So they had one of those. And, you know, it was really fun, and it was just lively and engaging, and they had a little fake campfire that you could sit around and everything. So it was a nice little place to relax. But I think it was really more than that.
Oh, Go RVing had a point to this.
Yeah.
This was new this year. They didn't do this last year.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by what they were driving at. So tell us, what were they driving
at? Well, and this is suppositional. It's not like I got somebody at Go RVing to say this is our point in doing this. But from my perspective, I kind of feel like Go RVing is trying to model good marketing behavior for dealers. I'm going to be honest. I feel like, you know, they're saying like, hey, dealers, this is your customer.
Listen, I'm just going to say this. RVs, I've said this before on the show, probably 100 episodes ago. RVs are one of the most exciting purchases you could ever possibly make. I believe that to my bones. But RV dealerships are often the most boring sales places you'll ever see.
Yeah.
If you've ever gone into like a hospital supply store, we have
like
those by us. Where there's just like those metal racks filled with stuff, and there's just nothing appealing or attractive or inspirational about most RV dealers. Now, that's not true of all of them.
Right.
I have been in a Route 66 dealer in Ohio that was amazing and fun and exciting. But most of the dealerships we've been into, you walk in and it's cubicles and racks of toilet paper.
Yeah. And the RVs are like sandwiched together on the lot, and they're all locked and closed up, and they've all got their plastic all in them and everything. Right. So is there a reason for all of that? Yes. It's very utilitarian. But you know what?
And I'm not knocking toilet paper, well, particularly if it's Aquasol.
Guess what? Marketing cannot be utilitarian only, okay? So if you want to have a marketing strategy, you're going to have to get outside the bottom line. And you're going to have to say, well, yes, it might be nice to stack as many RVs as possible on our lot, but maybe we should make the investment and have one of our RVs set up nicely, like an actual RV.
This is a big purchase. You have to get people dreaming to make this purchase. And that's the role of the marketing there, because you don't need an RV.
Yeah.
You don't need one.
Right.
We want them.
So everybody compares RVs to cars, but they're really very different. So a car dealership, right, they've got like a benefit. When you walk into a car dealership, chances are you need a car. If you walk into an RV dealership, you don't need an RV. Very few people need one. You know, maybe somebody who's working full time, like on the gas lines or something, you know,
well,
and
it's
moves.
It's a very particular type of purchase.
Yeah.
It's a discretionary purchase.
So dealers, I feel like, do this marketing thing. The culture has been, I want to make a sale fast, and I want to sell them something that I have on my lot. And I feel like Go RVing is really trying to say to these dealers, look, if you want to capture this next generation of RV owner, if you want the family adventurer, right, the nature lover, you have to paint the vision of a lifestyle for them. You have to make your dealership. Like, I think about Cabela's and what they do. The store is an event.
You feel like you're in the great outdoors. It's an event.
Look,
we're excited to go to Cabela's.
You just said, we're going to Cabela's on Saturday. Guess what we do? oh, we say to our friends who we know live by there, oh, we're going. And
checking
they're like,
the
oh, yeah, we'll be
the
there.
Tanks,
we'll be there. We'll meet you for
over
lunch.
That little bridge with the water. Can I have lunch there?
Yeah, a company knows what they're doing if you make lunch plans at their store. Okay?
That's brilliant. You're right.
Like, think
so,
about that.
So let me tell you, what I would like to see at dealers is that you walk in and there's visuals. There's maps. There's information about local campgrounds. I would love to see seminars by people like Stephanie and I, for goodness sake. You know, we're on a certain weekend. There's a seminar on Acadia National Park or, you know, whatever's within driving distance, that it becomes a hub for people that want to kind of drop in and buy all their parts there as well and maybe hang out, catch a seminar, do a movie night. And it becomes just part of what you do. A community is built there. That's what I want, a community.
Yeah. Go RVing knows. They understand that is what the modern consumer wants, is sort of a community of like-minded people, right? That's what Go RVing is. That's what RVFTA is, right? A community of like-minded people that gets to interact even though we're spread out by a lot of space. I feel like they're like dragging dealers. Not all dealers. There's some very reputable dealers out there that have managed to build really great spaces. But for the most part, they're dragging dealers kicking and screaming.
That Route 66, I don't even remember the name of the dealership. It was the Route 66 RV dealership near the Cleveland Streetsboro KOA. They had a little kids' indoor playground so the kids could play while mom and dad shopped. They had a full-on camp store that was attractive and interesting. They had books there. They had maps there. They had information on local campgrounds. It was a place you could browse and hang out in. I want a dealership like that.
Now, so I'm saying that GoRVing was modeling good marketing behavior for dealers. But I do want to say that I think that manufacturers have caught on to some of that good marketing behavior, because across the board, the number of manufacturers that have embraced social media interaction with their consumers has increased
thousands of percent. All of a sudden, every manufacturer has an Instagram account. It's like you woke up one morning and they all decided to do this at once. And it is fascinating. Like, they're all kind of getting it at the same time. Like, whether you have a Jayco or a Winnebago or a Keystone or whatever it is, you know, people want to be part of a community of owners, right? And so I think we're going to see that really develop in the coming
years. Yeah, because in the past, what happened was they were saying, oh, our customer's the dealer. We interact with dealers. They're waking up and they're saying, oh, no, people do connect with the brand.
People want to own an RV and become part of a club.
Exactly. So now the manufacturers are really getting that. I spoke to one social media manager there, and she said that, you know, it is all about customer experience right now, that this is the year of customer experience. We're all focused on it. We really want to reach our customers and for them to be happy with a product. And whether or not that is true right now, I think hearing that from the mouths of manufacturers is a really great sign. It gives me a lot of warm and fuzzies that these manufacturers are understanding that they need to build relationships with their customers. So
it enriches the lifestyle. I don't mean to be corny about it, but
well,
when
it's
manufacturers
important that
do it, it does enhance the experience. It builds brand loyalty. It builds brand loyalty, people, right? Because if you buy brand X and they have a whole culture around their brand and a blog and an Instagram account, you're more likely to want to stay in that world. When people leave a forum, whether it's the Jayco forum or the Winnebago forum, you can see they feel all bad. Like they're in a divorce or something.
I can't be in this anymore.
Right? So you want to create those strong ties. But we're not talking directly to the dealers now. Our listeners get this stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, what is going to come up on the next couple of months on this show? I did, you know, definitely get to see a lot of new product. And we're not going to cram that all into this episode, because it's like there's no way I want to go through and I want to say, oh, and this new trailer and this new Class B or whatever. We've got a lot of interviews. We've got a lot of good content that we're kind of going to roll out over the course of the next
couple
months.
So in terms of getting into specific companies, specific manufacturers, specific models, we got lots of interviews coming up from RVIA. Now, you wanted to mention something about RV quality again. And there's a lot of stuff out there about recalls and poor RV quality. And, you know, we have a little bit of a different take on that. And we feel like some of that is perhaps maybe overstated.
I do. In a recent study, and we're going to talk more about this study on another episode, because we like studies and this one really demands an entire show. But in a recent study, RV owners, okay, owners, they over 88% reported that their satisfaction level was good, very good, or excellent, right? And
now, of course, those 12% that aren't in that category are probably very vocal about it.
Right.
And I would be too.
And I think that's what happens, because I think the average RV owner that we meet, that we come across, has had, would say, I have a good, very good, or excellent experience.
I also think a lot of them have, I had a couple small problems, but I'm loving it. That's really the attitude.
Right. Which, you know, that's kind of the take that I get on this, is that, you know, manufacturers, they want to hit that point of quality control with their customer. They do. I don't think the majority of manufacturers, and I'm not speaking for all the manufacturers, but I think the majority find it important to have happy customers.
I think the industry is going to really push in the next 5 years to really improve the quality and fix the issues they do have. And I think they want return customers. I think they all are scared of these crazy millennials who demand quality and can't fix anything.
What they demand is service. And I really think that that's at the heart of the problem here. And I think it's another, that dealer linchpin we keep returning to. The dealers have to service these units that they sell. The end.
Look, I'll say our dealer, Whitehorse RV, I have had nothing but wonderful, pleasant experiences in service.
Right.
So there are dealers out there nailing it.
Yeah. So, you know, like, you know, our Ford already had to go in for something. Remember the seal?
I love them at Ford. There's donuts there.
I'm
there's
not
hot
freaking
chocolate.
Out. I'm not
there's
on the
so
Ford
nice
forums like, Ford's going pot because I had to get.
Getting in through the windshield.
Yeah, we had to get it resealed. Done. I called. They had a test. Oh, we have to reseal your windshield. Well, okay.
The boys know you can get donuts there now. They're like, Daddy, when's the car going to break down again?
You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the future over the course of the winter. But I do think that's an issue here that we need to be very, thoughtful about, right? It's really easy to make these grand statements about quality in the RV industry. But I think there's a lot of components that go into it. And I think it's a little trickier than some people are making it sound.
You literally were making the point when we were talking about this before. There are a lot of components that go into an RV.
Yeah.
That make it more like a house than a car.
And that's a great segue into our next segment, right? Because there was all these suppliers there at the Louisville show. So we are going to be back in a minute and we will talk about those and why that matters so much for RV quality. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our episode, Greetings from the RVIA Show in Louisville, Kentucky. And now we want to talk about exhibitors and suppliers, because that's a huge part of what's going on at RVIA. And this segment is sponsored by our friends at Thetford.
And Thetford Corporation has been providing the highest quality products in the RV industry for 50 years. To see a complete line of products, visit Thetford.com.
And we're going to have an interview with Andy from Thetford later, and he's going to give our listeners an introduction to the company, because they're coming on as a great new sponsor for this show for the next year.
Yeah.
So let's talk technology and high-end goodies.
Okay. So, right. Obviously, you go around these suppliers, and what do you see? Tech, tech, tech. Okay. The industry is responding to the fact that everybody is connected to their devices at home, and it's starting to become an absolute, like, given that people want to be connected to their devices while away from home. So you see this in the suppliers that are there. You see this, you know, demand for tech, even to all of, like, the touchscreen tablets that control everything in the RV, right? It's not even just Wi-Fi or satellite TV or anything. It's also, like, the fact that people want to control everything via tablet.
People are buying RVs that they don't want. The tent in the middle of nowhere experience.
They want their little home.
Right.
They want their little home. I want my home.
They want everything to function the way it does
but
at
on
home.
Wheels.
Right.
So I also saw that in a lot of the finishes that were being shown off, right? People are really moving away from that standardized, like, small RV couch and dinette. And all of a sudden, all of these, like, recliners and all of this leather material.
Baruch Hashem with getting rid of the dinettes.
Yeah. You see, as you go around the suppliers, all of these furniture options, flooring, wall coverings. Everybody is trying to say, hey, look, I've got a product that's going to get away from that. You know that, like, tile wallpaper, the fake tile wallpaper that we have, like, in ours, right?
Do.
It's like the fake backsplash. Now you're seeing less and less of that. You're seeing an actual tile backsplash, or you're seeing some other material that might be lighter you know, than a glass tile, but that
but
at
more
least,
of a legitimate replacement.
Yes, it looks better than like the fake.
Well, like the wood look
the
floors
flooring,
are
right.
awesome in RVs right now. They are.
Right. So laminate flooring has come a long way and it's looking and it's like, you know, a lot of it's really durable and strong. I know that that's one of the benefits of having a toy hauler is that the flooring that you get is hugely durable because toys drive on it, so they make it actually.
And the floor in our new toy hauler, which we didn't get yet, but soon, I love that floor.
Yeah.
Nice
so,
looking floor.
You know, you see this all around and it's very interesting. Residential materials and people want the comforts of home on the road. And you see that in all the supply, you know, in right. the suppliers.
So are you ready for your biggest takeaway about the whole supplier side of this industry?
All right. So
we don't think about it a lot. We
no.
don't think about it a lot.
But the more that I was talking to suppliers at the show and talking with Andy, you know, and as we've been getting to know Thetford, because we really do like we get to know our partners, you know, in this business, we talk to them and we say, like, what do you make and how do you make it? And like, you know, who do you sell to? We really want to understand their business. And the more we're talking to these suppliers, the more I'm realizing, you know, RVs are always compared to cars and they're not cars, they're houses. And there are so
you can go to the bathroom in your RV.
Yeah. Like there are so many components.
Take a shower.
To an RV. That are not sort of in the direct hands of the manufacturer. So the manufacturer is not actually building, like, the majority of the RV.
The toilet, the microwave.
No.
Right.
So they're having to get all these components from different suppliers.
In a sense, they're assembling.
Are they responsible for the quality of those components? Absolutely. But at the same time, think about that juggling circus, right? Like, how many different like supply chains are you dealing with? And then I was thinking of comparing that to like the builder of a home. And like, you don't think when your refrigerator goes, oh, I bought a terrible house. How can I have bought such a terrible
The housing
house?
Industry's in crisis.
Like the housing industry's going down in flames because my refrigerator broke. Like, you know, you don't do that. Or your furnace.
Well, we think
like,
of each thing as a separate thing.
Separate thing. You think, how is the quality of my furnace? So it could be a cheaper one and you're like, oh, it's going to last 6 years and then I'm going to have to replace it, but that's okay because I want a cheap furnace. Or you're going to say, I'm going to splurge and I'm going to get that expensive furnace and I'm going to have an HVAC system that lasts me 25 years. Like, that's a choice people make about individual components. When they're buying an RV, they look at like the whole thing and they're like, I want it for $24,000 out the door.
18.
And I want nothing to ever break.
Forever.
Like, forever. Nothing. I can't have problems. I can't have problems with the furnace or the hot water heater.
If you talk to the old
or
school people in the industry, they'll say dollar for dollar, the quality's better now. Look, that's not me saying that. I've heard people say that. Compared to the RVs in the 60s and 70s, what they say the difference is now is that people back then had toolkits and
right.
would fix
they would
things.
Just fix it.
Like, you know, like
we
say like my
things.
Father-in-law, like if he had a pop-up camper and something broke, he'd be excited.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be excited.
Good times.
It's like, let's get a beer. Let's get
Saturday
the tools out.
Afternoon.
Let's fix this bad boy.
He'd put on that plaid shirt.
He would call up the RV company.
Crack say, open a beer.
He'd call up the RV company and say, thank you that broke. Because
yeah,
I got to fix it. And the you know, RV people so will true. Say, look, this generation, my generation, me, you know, we did not grow up just with the ability to fix basic things.
Yeah. And
so that's
I don't feel guilty about it. I'm fine with that. We do other things, like, but whatever. The point being is that, you know, people, I really do think that, like, when we're talking about quality of RVs, I just want to be more sensitive to the complexities of the issue. And I feel like there's just these huge blanket statements that are being thrown out there about this stuff and about, like, recalls. And it's like, wait a minute. How many companies, like, I'd love to see stats for how many companies contributed, right, to all of the pieces of one single
RV. Yeah, I mean,
RV.
That being said, if you're the people that got the bum unit that ended up back at the shop for a month during camping season, that's cold comfort to you, right?
Yeah.
Because you're the one that, you know, you're that 12% that are saying,
sure.
I'm not happy with this.
But I then, again, take it back to the consumer. I feel like us as consumers have a huge role to play in this in you know, money talks. And right now, people are spending money on the things they can see in an RV and not the things they can't see. So they want all the bells and whistles. And then if the cabinets are glued on, that's okay because with $16,000 travel trailer. You
know, look, we're Jayco owners. Jayco is a sponsor of Campground of the Week. Some of the things that we think they do incredibly well are not obvious and they're not things you see. They use better motors for their slide outs.
Right, like right. There's none of those. There's not cables, like right?
Yeah, there's not those cable pull ones. And just even the motors for the awnings, they use a higher grade than a lot of other people. But you can't see that.
Nobody's like, oh, my slide out has a better motor. They're like heated recliners, boom. Right. Like, you know, right. I mean, big screen TV, boom. And which is more expensive?
5 big screen TVs, boom. Boom, you don't get a boom anymore for 1 big screen TV in an RV.
So, by the way,
our toy hauler is coming with no TV in it. And we may change that, but as of now, it does not have a TV in it.
I don't know. So anyway, you know, Thetford is one of those companies that we're really happy that they are an American, you know, company. They are a family company from America. They are producing these toilets, not kidding, in Michigan, okay? The factory's there. Andy's going to talk about you being able to tour it. And they're really proud of how much they're manufacturing in the United States. And we're really happy to have them on board as a partner.
I'm thrilled to have them on board as a partner and a sponsor because we have been buying Thetford products since day one of the pop-up camper. So it's nice to have them on board.
Yeah. So we are going to hear an interview with Andy Bialarucki. He is the marketing director at Thetford Corporation. And he just came on the show to tell us a little bit more about his company. And we met down in Louisville and I said, let's debrief on this and you can explain to people what suppliers do down here and more about your company. And he was kind enough to come back on the show. So here we go. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good. And it's nice to be back home after being in Louisville and seeing all the exciting things that are going on in the industry. And it was nice to see your setup there. You guys had quite a display.
Thank you. Yeah, we try to make a good showing there. We want to show all of our customers the new and exciting things that we're going to be offering to them. So it's always a good show for us.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking to our listeners about on this episode, sort of the purpose of, you know, Louisville and how it really allows not only the manufacturers to showcase what they have to, you know, to dealers, but it really also allows suppliers to showcase what they have to dealers and manufacturers, right?
That's correct. And the timing of the year works well for us. Because for suppliers like us in the aftermarket, a lot of the dealers will come to the wholesale distributor shows early in the year to buy what they need to stock up for their season starting in the springtime. So it's just a good the timing of the show is good for us to introduce new things.
Yeah, and we tend to have, you know, listeners, I'm going to like, you know, pat them on the back a little bit. We tend to have listeners that really like to be educated about their purchases, which is a lot of the time why they start listening to us in the first place. And I think that it's great that you're here to talk to us because this is just one more step in that education for them to not only understand their rig, maybe in their RV, but all the components that go into that, right? It's a lot of different companies that come together to make an RV and to help, you know, us appreciate the RV lifestyle. So we're going to jump into that a little bit and just kind of introduce our listeners to your company in particular. And they've heard in our messaging from you, in our sponsorship message that we've read over the last couple weeks, that you guys have been in the industry for over 50 years. Can you just share a little bit more about the history of the company and maybe like where it started and how it's evolved over the years?
Sure, no problem. And I'm happy to do this. Thanks for having me today. Thetford, it's a hard name to say, right? A lot of people have trouble saying Thetford, but Thetford was started in 1963, and people often wonder how we got our name. It was started in a township in Michigan called Thetford Township, and it was started by the Sargent family. There was a need for a waste valve. And I believe one of the first waste valves that was used by Airstream was developed by Thetford. And then that quickly led into toilets and toilet deodorants. So it's been a really good, long-tenured company in the industry. Sanitation and sanitation products are really what we specialize in.
Well, and it's not the most fun thing to talk about, but it's probably one of the most important, right?
Right. We have a lot of fun with it. We say we're experts in the industry in sanitation. We say we're number one in the number two business.
I'm sure you come up with a lot of jokes, right?
We don't use that in our marketing slogan, but maybe we should.
I would recommend it. If you can get people laughing about that kind of stuff instead of crying about it, you know, you've come a long way. So, we have a lot of listeners in Michigan, and, you know, our listeners know I went to school there, and we actually traveled to Sleeping Bear Dunes last summer. But, you know, it's not really in the heart of the RV industry. So you guys are a little bit, you're located a little bit in a different place geographically.
Yes, our headquarters is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We manufacture our products here. We have two plants in Ann Arbor. One's actually in Dexter, Michigan. One's in Ann Arbor, but they're only about a mile apart. We manufacture our toilets here. We manufacture our holding tank deodorants here. And we acquired a company called Norcold, which makes refrigeration in the late 90s. And those products are made in Sidney, Ohio.
So you really are both an American company in sort of, you know, in that you started in Michigan by a family. You've been around 50 years and you're also manufacturing products in the USA. I think that that's really important to a lot of people.
Yeah, and we're very proud of that fact. We do market that fact. We're very proud to say we make our products in the USA, and we're also American-owned. So,
a
very good thing.
As well, you should be proud of that. Now, you know, a lot of people come in contact with Thetford products without even realizing it. I mean, I think that we probably owned an RV for a long time without becoming familiar with, you know, those sort of company names that manufacture and supply the RVs. So, you know, what are some of the products that are in people's travel trailers and motorhomes that your company is manufacturing? What might they already have?
That's a good question. So we've been making, as I mentioned in how we got started, we've been making RV toilets since, I think, the early 70s. And we estimate today that over 80% of the RVs on the road today have a Thetford toilet in them. Our brand names are very well known. We have a product called the AquaMagic, and depending on what unit you have, you may have an AquaMagic 4, you may have an AquaMagic 5. That's our brand name for our toilets. One thing that we also do, and we find this very important, is people want to keep the odors down in their holding tanks. So we sell a product called AquaChem, and it's the number one brand in the country. We include a sample of the holding tank deodorant in every toilet that we make and sell out of this building. And that's to get people started on it and to get them familiar with it. And once they use it for the first time and see how well it does at keeping the odors down, they tend to come back and buy it again from us. So
yeah, we used that with our very first pop-up camper. We had the cassette toilet, you know, kind of a setup. And I think we got them at our dealer, you know, in the dealer store before we first pulled away. And we never used, I don't think that we've ever used anything else, just because it seemed like that was the product that was made for our RV.
Yeah, it's got the blue, it's the blue stuff. We call it the true blue stuff. Our product has the blue cap, and many people are familiar with the stuff in the blue cap. So, there's many other new deodorant forms though that we're making now. The toss-ins have become more popular. So AquaChem, is not only available in a liquid, but it's available in those convenient dry pack toss-ins that dissolve when they hit water. And they're just very convenient, pre-measured doses.
Now, you know, a lot of people also may want to upgrade some of the features in their travel trailers or motorhomes after they purchase their rigs. Now, do you do that as well? Like, can I buy a toilet from you, you know, or do I just go through my dealer for your products?
We do not sell direct to the consumer. We sell to wholesale distributors who then sell to the dealerships. Our products are also available at the Camping World stores. Just about any place that sells RV products that you go into, you should be able to find a Thetford product.
Yeah, Jeremy actually took a picture of our little guy, Wes, in front of a huge Thetford display at the camp store at a campground we were just at a couple of weeks ago. I think there was the Titan sewer hose.
Okay.
All right. Now, you know, we are introducing you as a partner of this show. We are happy to have you on board because our listeners know we want to have sponsors that really add to the quality of their RVing experience. So here is your chance. I want you to tell our listeners, you know, why do you think that Thetford is a quality product that they should choose over the, you know, many other brands that are out there competing for their RV dollars, competing for shelf space? You know, if you Google or type into Amazon, you know, a holding tank product, you're going to get a lot of results. Why are they choosing Thetford?
Well, first of all, I would say it's our expertise. It's not a glamorous type of product line, but we take great pride in making sanitation for RVing or boating or whatever kind of mobile application. We take it pretty seriously. If I were to take any of the users through our plant, and I'd be happy to take any one of them, through our plants, you'd see the quality. With toilets, you know, we have some testing facilities here. As I said, we've been making toilets since the early 70s. We test them to 30,000 cycles and beyond, which basically means we're trying to beat the heck out of the toilets and engineer them and constantly improve them so that they hold up and that they maintain their reliability. The last thing that we want to have happen is for someone to not have their toilet working when they're on their trip. Does the occasional problem happen? Sure. But I think one thing you'll find with Thetford toilets is that they're highly, highly reliable. And that's one of the reasons that our toilets are in over 80% of the RVs out there. The OEMs have come to find us as a very reliable, good quality product.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, we can speak to that because we have, you know, we have three little kids. We haven't calculated the exact number, but we're trading in our White Hawk, which we've had for almost 6 years. We've spent hundreds of nights in it. I don't know. The final number is going to be probably over 400. And we've never had a toilet issue. So my hat's off to you guys, Andy.
Good. That's good to hear. Knock on wood, right?
I know. Well, it's a minor miracle considering the wear and tear that we put on it, especially with my voice. But it's an ongoing joke on our podcast. But so you really think that the experience and just your track record of quality makes you stand out from a lot of the other products that are available?
That's right. And then on the chemical side, you know, we have a full chemical staff. Stephanie, you would, when you come visit us, we're going to show you how serious we take the deodorant chemistries. I mean, you're going to laugh. We're going to put you on our smell test panel.
Oh, yes, we want to do smell testing.
But we actually test real life conditions and how well the deodorants deodorize the waste. I mean, we have controlled lab facilities that that test those aspects, and we have chemists here that are continually formulating the best deodorant chemistry so that we can make it a pleasant experience when people are using the restroom in an RV.
As pleasant as possible.
As yeah.
Pleasant as possible. All right. So now you guys have been in business for all of this time. You've got your toilets, you have your, you know, chemicals. But you're always coming up with new products that you're releasing out there onto the market, too. What are you most excited about that people are going to see in the coming year?
We believe right now one of the biggest, most least desirable things of RVing is emptying your holding tanks.
I don't do it.
Yeah, no. You don't. You make Jeremy do the dirty work?
I do. And I joke about how, you know, I became more like gender specific when we got an RV. I was always like, I'll mow the lawn, I'll take out the garbage. But we got that RV and I was like, I'm a girl, I can't empty those tanks.
Well, let me tell you, you are not alone. But our goal is to someday make you feel comfortable enough and make it pleasurable enough to empty the holding tank. We have some new products out right now that you mentioned, the Titan as one of them. It's a very robust, durable, leak-proof sewer hose, very easy to use. And then one of the newer things that we're coming out with is called RV Sanicon, actually called Sanicon Turbo, which is a fast, very fast pumping system that makes emptying your holding tanks almost like as easy as pumping gas. You grab a nozzle, you put it into the sewer, you turn on a button to power the pump, and it pumps out the waste. So we're very, very focused. We do a lot of research with consumers. We have a panel of RVers that we speak to regularly where we ask them, you know, what their problems are. We try to identify their unmet needs and develop new products to address those. So the one area that I'm most excited about is bringing easier, more convenient, more sanitary methods to emptying the holding tanks.
All right. So we do have the Sanicon on our brand new travel trailer. We don't even have yet, right? But it's, we know we're getting that feature. So we're going to be excited to try it and also to share that sort of experience with our audience. And I'm going to say this. I think that I will have to try it. I will have to, you know, put you there on the chopping block and decide, is this, can this truly be an enjoyable experience for even the lady?
Even you can do it. I promise. All right. Very, very easy.
I pledge that I am going to try that. We're going to, you know, we're really excited to get our new travel trailer. That is one of the features that we can't wait to test out and kind of see how it works and share with our listeners, Andy. So we'll look forward to that in the future. And we'll also look forward to sharing other products that you come up with and maybe helping everybody else feel comfortable doing the dirty work. Like maybe I should finally get comfortable doing the dirty work. You made me feel bad, Andy.
Then you'll be able to say you can be number one in the number two business.
Yeah. And, you know, I will. If it gives me a spot on your, like, you know, sniff test panel or anything like that, I'm willing to do it. If it, you know, gets me a position out there at the factory. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and just kind of talking to our listeners a little bit about the history of your company and your products and, you know, your commitment to quality within the RV industry. We really appreciate that commitment because, you know, suppliers need to always keep in mind that people buy these RVs to just fulfill a dream, right? And to spend time with their families relaxing. And, you know, it's like if that's in the forefront of your mind as you're making these products, then they're going to be better quality, definitely.
Great. Thank you so much. And if anybody has any questions or wants more information, probably the best way to get it from our company is at our website, Thetford.com. We just created a bunch of new videos to show our viewers more about our products, how to use them, and what the benefits are of them. So,
and they can stop by and take a tour of that factory in Ann Arbor, Michigan, a great city.
Sure. It's a great city.
All right.
It's funny. I'm an Ohio State Buckeye fan, working here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the home of the Wolverines. So we have a lot of fun with that at football season.
Things can get a little tricky around there.
Yeah.
Well, you should do some tailgating parties for your Buckeye fans. Have them come up, tailgate in the parking lot, create a little, you know, good old-fashioned rivalry.
Yeah, we have a very, very good rivalry. So
all right.
It's been a lot of fun.
Well, Andy, thanks again for coming on the show. We look forward to talking to you in the future, and we look forward to trying out all of the great new Thetford products with our Octane. So take care.
Thanks, Stephanie. Right. I look forward to it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 118 of RVFTA. Greetings from the RVI show in Louisville, Kentucky. And thank you so much to Cabela's for sponsoring the show and to Thetford, our newest sponsor, for coming on board to RVFTA.
And thank you also to Progressive Insurance. When you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for total loss replacement, which is optional protection that replaces your new RV with a current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Get a quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV today.
And we will be rolling out content from all these interviews that Stephanie did at RVIA over the coming months.
Yep.
And as we've said on the show, you know, spring, summer, fall tend to be more of our travel content. And in the winter, we really do a lot of industry content. And we know you guys enjoy that. And we certainly enjoy producing it.
We'll get you through the winter, folks.
See you at the RV show.
Bye-bye.